Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're thankful and appreciate your tuning in. We hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, but we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, please feel free to contact us at the address that's given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, I've noticed more and more that when I, as a preacher of the gospel, tell people what to do to become a Christian, some seem to be bothered. They respond as if I've said, if I've just somehow offended Christ, or that they feel like I have made light of his cross. I was once even told about a television evangelist who was preaching in Acts chapter 2, and when he came to the question, the crowd asked Peter in verse 37, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The preacher then boldly stated, "There's nothing to do. Jesus has done it all." How different that answer was from Peter's answer. The question of what shall we do, or similar questions, are found a number of times in the scriptures. I want us to examine how the question was answered. Going back to Acts 2, Peter's answer to the question of "men and brethren, what shall we do?" is found in verse 38. "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You see, when they asked the question, "What shall we do?" he told them what to do. It was not the answer that the preacher on television gave, "There's nothing to do. Jesus has done it all." No, there was something to do, and Peter told them what to do. Later in the book of Acts, in the 9th chapter, when Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus, who was on his way to Damascus, Saul asked Jesus in verse 6, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Jesus was not offended at the question, and Jesus certainly didn't think that it minimized his work that he had just accomplished at the cross. Instead, what Jesus does is he gives a simple answer to the question. He said, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." That's again in Acts 9 and verse 6. So not only did Jesus tell Saul that there was something to do, he told him that there would be something that he must do. Did you notice that word? "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And so, this is exactly what Saul does. He goes to Damascus, and when he arrives in the city, we find a man by the name of Ananias comes to him, and in the account that Paul gives later of this same incident in Acts 9, he gives an account of it in Acts 22. And in Acts 22, it's in verse 16, that when Ananias came to Saul, Here's what Ananias said. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So, see, there was things that Saul must do. Again, the answer to the question is not, there's nothing to do when it comes to what to do. And another incident is over in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. There we have Philip. I'm sorry, we have Paul and Silas. And they are in the city of Philippi, teaching the gospel. And due to unfortunate circumstances, they are put into prison. It's in verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all of the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened from sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, supposing that the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Now notice verse 30. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So that's the question that the jailer asked. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he was told what to do to be saved. Verse 31, they, Paul and Silas, said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." But we find that they first pointed him to the one in whom this jailer was to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the very next verse, verse 32, says, they spake the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. So they first pointed out to him, to the man, Christ, and then they shared his plan. Verse 32, they spake unto him the word of the Lord to him and all that were in his house. And then he did something. What did he do? Well, verse 33, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all of his family were baptized. Again, verse 36. He did something, and that's what he did. You see, in each of these instances, Acts 2, Acts 9, Acts 16, in each of these instances, those that needed to be saved were told what to do. Friend, Jesus is not insulted when we teach people what to do, nor does it minimize the work that Jesus did on the cross, because all of this is from him. Without his cross, all of the doing in the world would be worthless. It's Jesus that we praise for our salvation, and I often use John 9 as an example. We read in John 9, verse 1, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him that has sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, And he said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. What we've just read is that here is a man that was blind. Jesus told him something to do, and the man was healed of his blindness. What Jesus said for this man to do is go wash in the pool of Siloam. The man later returns with joy, because as we go on and we read, beginning where we left off in verse 8, therefore the neighbors and those that previously had seen that he was blind said, Is this not he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, How were your eyes open? And notice verse 11. He answered and said, A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and washed. So I went and washed, and I received sight. You see, he says, I went and washed, and I received sight. Jesus was the key to his healing. Yet, do we not understand that Jesus told this man to do something? What's wrong with doing something? And we find that when he went and did what Jesus told him to do, he returned, and what did he do? He praised Jesus. You know, even the Jews, they magnify Jesus. You know, I notice in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he that has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. See, in Romans 6, when a person is baptized, he is crucified with Christ. We read that in verse 6. He is buried with Christ, verse 4. And he is raised with Christ, verse 4. How much closer to Christ can you get? Far from minimizing the cross of Christ, the command to be baptized takes us to the very core of the gospel, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Yes, friends, we must tell people what to do to be saved. That's my commission from the Lord. Those things must be done. And when they are done, let's remember, as Luke 17:10 teaches, when you have done all things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Our time is up. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in again until tomorrow. And it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.